9 passengers, that 1 carry-on bag of 7 kilos is committed...
Unless you work in the field of security, you probably haven't spent too much time thinking about something called insider threat. That's the potential for people to harm their own organisation. Following on from ICAO's Year of Security Culture, we're looking at the employee or insider at an airport whose behaviour threatens the security of aviation. I'm Pen Mackay, and you're listening to the Vector Online interview, The Insider Threat to Aviation. With me is David Willing. He's the manager of the CAA Security Regulation Team. That's the team who regulate and monitor aviation security. Also here is Marcus Linnell, who's the team's lead analyst, and Caroline Jacobs, who's the principal advisor for protective security here at the authority. Marcus, we'll start with you. What can you tell us about this thing called insider threat?
An insider threat describes the potential for people to use their authorized access to their organization's information, assets, systems, or locations to cause harm. And this is especially relevant in the aviation sector, where many people are granted privileged access to secure areas or hold sensitive information about the aviation industry. Now, it's important to recognize that there are actually two categories of insiders, intentional and unintentional. Unintentional insiders can really be any of us. We can all accidentally cause harm through our poor security practice, whether that's because we don't know or understand correct security processes, or because we're in a rush or particularly stressed and slip up or forget what we're supposed to do. Ignorance or complacency can often be key drivers of this risk, and organizations can support all their staff by providing clear policies and frequent reminders of staff security responsibilities. Intentional insiders, on the other hand, can be motivated by a broad range of factors. Some people might be familiar with the acronym MICE. Now, this stands for money, ideology, coercion, or ego. And these can be four of the broad motivators for an insider to conduct an act that causes harm. Many insiders throughout history have been driven by financial incentives, whereas others have been issue motivated, whether that's political ideology, they may have divided loyalties, or perhaps an employee is disgruntled or angry and is seeking revenge against their employer. In some cases, though, a vulnerable employee may be pressured by a third party to conduct insider threat activity, including through blackmail. In reality, there's often a combination of factors motivating an intentional insider to act, and it can be really complex to decipher exactly what drives this behaviour in any specific case.
So, Marcus, what should people look for or be aware of?
So, everyone has a part to play in identifying insider threats. There are several behaviours that, from a security perspective, we may become concerned about. Now, it is key that we remember that the presence of any of these common signs doesn't automatically mean that someone is an insider threat. However, you should notify your manager or security team if you do become concerned. And the sorts of things that we might look for include changes of behavior or significant life changes. So this might mean your colleague is more nervous or anxious than normal, or that they're receiving calls from outside of work that causes them stress. Or if your colleague suddenly becomes wealthy without any explanation. These are examples of things you may wish to report. Really is a huge range of behaviours that might be of concern. And I'll repeat again that while none of these is in isolation, an automatic trigger that someone is an insider threat, they are things that you should keep an eye on and notify to your manager if you do become concerned.
Thanks, Marcus. Caroline, how should we think about insider threat?
Hi, Pen. I think the first thing I want to talk about is how powerful and important we are in looking after each other. Because when we think about it, we spend more time with our colleagues than our loved ones. So we are most likely to notice a change in each other well before maybe the people we share a house with do. So if I became concerned about my colleague, let's use Marcus for example, and I thought his behaviour was strange or unusual, I would let his manager know or someone in the security team. This allows them to prioritise their resources to maybe help Marcus if he was going to go down that insider threat pathway. Some of the work I've done in my past has been working with staff, managers and support agencies to help people get assistance they may need when they might be in this early stages of the possibility of becoming an insider threat. So I guess when we talk about security, many people often think about police or kicking in doors or something a bit dramatic, but that's not true. Security is a wraparound way that we all protect and support each other. So if I was concerned about someone, I would definitely call their manager.
The trouble is, in New Zealand, we have this culture of not dobbing in your mates. How do managers in the aviation sector persuade people to report?
Well, for us to achieve positive security outcomes, we all need to support each other. This includes understanding that reporting possible insider behaviours is about enhancing the safety and security of the entire aviation system. So airports and really any part of the aviation sector should promote and incentivise staff to take responsibility for their own actions and for the actions of their colleagues. So this includes things like encouraging reporting when things don't seem right, as well as establishing appropriate channels, including anonymous reporting options. So this could be for staff to notify their supervisors of early warning signs or concerns of harmful activities. Staff also need to be able to trust that any reports they make will be handled by their employer with confidentiality and care. So all of this needs to be underpinned by a strong education and training program so staff understand what they should be doing, what they shouldn't be doing, what they should report, and what will be done once they do report it. This can help give staff the confidence that they're not dobbing in their mates, they're actually highlighting potential harmful activity and acting in the best interests of not only the organisation, but everyone in it, including themselves. So the whole aviation sector has a responsibility to promote a just culture. So this is where staff are expected to report security issues to prevent things from happening. So doing this prevents serious harm to the public, their colleagues, their friends, and their families.
Thanks, Caroline. David, to be aware of the possibility of an insider threat is part of a robust culture of security, right? So what does an organisation with a robust culture of security look like?
Yeah, thanks, Pen. I think it's actually a pretty tricky question in some ways. It's largely a robust and positive security culture is something that needs to be embraced and lived by employees at all levels of the organisation. And then how do you see that in practice is a really tricky thing. And it's also important to be aware that organisations will experience security-related problems from time to time. It's just a natural thing. But a robust and positive security culture will help those problems to be reported and corrected. Just culture is really important there. The ability to be able to identify issues and report those and have employees confident to feel they can report them without any punitive action is a really critical part of any security culture. And we could probably also look to safety culture as a bit of an example as well. Safety culture has been talked about a lot for a number of years in the aviation sector. And we're just starting the security culture conversation, but in a lot of ways, you don't really need to reinvent the wheel, with security culture. You develop organisational wide beliefs and values and behaviours that apply equally to all employees, whether it's the manager, the middle management, or the barista at the front counter of the cafe in the airport. You need to know and understand how security contributes to your organisation's success. You need to integrate your security management system, whatever that might look like, with all your other management systems, and you need to actively engage employees around security matters.
And what would you say to people who remain unconvinced of the necessity of a security culture at their airport?
I think it's pretty easy for people to talk about 9/11 and Lockerbie and events like that, because in a lot of ways they're really, really visible examples of how security failures have contributed to unsafe outcomes, and to a large degree they resulted in step changes to security within aviation. But I'd probably actually start by asking a few questions of people who maybe ask that question themselves, and getting them to think collectively within their organisation. Questions like, have we seen significant security events, risks or threats in New Zealand over the last 10 years, or even going back beyond that as well? Could those have happened at an airport? Can you think of any security-related threat or risk events in New Zealand at airports or on aircraft? And could any of those threats or risks that manifested in different ways cause significant harm to aviation or the people who interact with the aviation system? And then from there, you could also ask the question, if there was a significant security failure, what is the chance that that could really hurt people, infrastructure, reputation, things like that? So once you start to unpick the answer to those questions and any others you might want to throw up as well, I think most organisations would probably start to understand that security is actually vitally important in the aviation context.
Can you give me an example of how the behaviour of an employee has damaged or had the potential to damage the security or safety of an airport?
Yeah, New Zealand hasn't been immune to it. Many people might recall a recent incident of an airport worker who, like many other of us who interact with the aviation system, did have access to security areas at an airport. They used that access for their own purposes. You could call it nefarious activity. It's probably more likely they did things that most of us wouldn't do. This person ultimately was caught in what was an illegal act against the Aviation Crimes Act. They committed an offence and they were subsequently jailed because of the activity they undertook. Now, that particular activity did cause some serious harm in terms of reputation to the airport that they worked in, harm to New Zealand's aviation system. We need to be continuously aware of potential threats and how they might manifest and cause damage to us.
So, David, if people need advice about building a culture of security at their organisation, can they contact you or your unit?
Yeah, Pen, absolutely. So we've got a dedicated email address that people can come through, and that is security.regulation@caa.govt.nz, or they can also look on the CAA website and search security culture.
Okay, great. So, Marcus, Caroline, and David, thanks for sharing your insights into insider threats to aviation. And to you listening, we have links on the Vector online webpage if you want more information. And as David says, you can contact his team. We'll put their email up there as well. I'm Pen Mackay, and this has been a Vector Online interview, The Insider Threat to Aviation. Thanks for listening.